Mr. Harris, Reel 3. We were talking about your time in Algeria with the with Brigade Headquarters of 139 Brigade, liaising with 16th Battalion. We were talking about the arrival of Johnny Preston. Could you give us an idea, a bit more about what he was like, sort of thing that illustrates as a person?
Well, his character. Very difficult work. I mean, I liked him. I think one would say that he was a commander. Obviously, he would have got as far as G rather than a division.
He was competent then.
Oh, very competent. Yes. Very fair, I think. He was, you know, fairly strict disciplinarian, but he was very fair.
Now, during the period following Sejanay, there was a lot of coming and going of various battalions of 139 Brigade. You know, battalions being attached to the Parachute Brigade and other brigades and divisions. And I mean, how did that affect you in your brigade headquarters? Or were you not really aware of it?
I was aware of it, yes. We had to be careful here, really, which I see. We had a CO for one of the battalions, and we had the names. He was a very likeable chap, particularly when you visited the mess. But people in the battalion who I knew very well used to say, he looks all right, but you get to know him, he's absolute so and so. And really, he was rather clueless, I think. He eventually went away to one of senior officers on a boat that came in or something like that.
It's all right.
I always remember I was down at Naples. I had to report back to Naples to begin the quarters there, I think it was.
That's running ahead a bit. That's Italy. We were on.
I am getting
it's all right. We're more thinking of the time when they were going between brigades, and divisions. The Durhams were being moved in Africa during the advance to Tunis. Just wondered how that affected your work liaising with them.
Well, I don't think they all had a lot of difference, really. One was given the opportunity to do and find somebody or tell somebody something, and off you went and did it.
On your motorbike?
Yeah.
Would you have an escort or would you be on your own?
Oh, no. I can tell you a very amusing story.
Is that Italy or? What was that then? That's round about then.
Well, yes. We suddenly had under our command some French irregular soldiers called Goulier. They collected ears, I think. But the fear of the Italians. And I had to meet them one night with a couple of trucks. And the trucks pulled up with all these chattering. Grinning chaps got on with their goats and their sheep and their God knows what. And we set off. And eventually, after it was a long stop, an hour rendezvous. And the driver of the chap that I was with got out and let this tail board down. Expected lots of people to jump out. They'd all disappear. But I was riding my roof truck going out onto that trailer and on a long river. All of a sudden, a character, to me, rose out of the earth, jabbered something in French to me. It was at least 2 years. Shouted at my English officer, then grinning away. The workers used to deal with the rim of a helmet. They could tell that it was English or German. And that was my introduction to the Gruyères. They were the elite of, as far as patent officers were concerned. They'd all been to Saint-Cyr. When you went into the Gruyères, they told you if they didn't like you as an officer. Then that was the time to go to get a post on the way to you. Otherwise, we'll be tagging you. Might be interested in another day and another day. But they were incredible people. The officers were absolutely the streets ahead of any French officer that came across. But it's probably in the book.
Some of it. What was morale like in the brigade during that campaign? Because they'd had a real bloody nose at centuries. Were you aware of morale or the state of morale in the brigade?
No, I don't think we were. You know, it's rather like there are very often I am still honest. Henry, you were in the war. Did you ever think that you'd fail or we'd lose the war? And I'd say, no, never occurred to me. We win about it. But, no, never occurred to me that we couldn't lose it. And I think that was a sort of attitude one had. It was there.
So even after a reverse, it didn't affect things as far as you were concerned?
No. I don't think they had enough to do.
Anything else about your time during the fighting in Tunisia? Or
no,
on the way
I don't think so, no. I was really hopping along on my motorbike.
I can't recall anything. Nothing in particular from that time. And then there was a period training. The Durhams went to Bleeder and trained and
a couple of,
what do you remember? And the mountain training, things like that. Now, how were you involved in that?
The Bleeder. But where we were stationed, it was all open part of the outside of the town, and just there was a railway, on the other side of the railway, there was a camp. And one night, these Arabs came in and pitched all the lots of stuff wanted in the big deal. Which caused a bit of consternation. But, oh gosh, when we told the French, what happened there? They went to tell them. They were at times extremely brutal with the Arabs, I think. French, the way they cheated them. No confirmation at all. We had to treat them a bit with suspicion, because you never knew who's dressing people sitting on top of Jack, you've been a butcher in your time. You take a gun and kill him. But we didn't. We sort of get one out in a more amicable way. But they were a bit cunning, these Arabs. But equally, they could be quite pleasant. At Sejnim, which there was a tunnel which went through to Tunis, really, and it was blocked up. But the units who had been there before us had constructed a sort of bothy, made of railway sleepers, so that if anything untoward happened, or got into this little bothy, and you were pretty well sheltered. One day I was shot up by a couple of Spitfires, which was rather unpleasant, particularly because of your own faith that's doing it. And I complained, and eventually one day a couple of RAF officers, I think it was, turned up because they had walked quite away. They said, "I've been sent by our CO to apologise to you for shooting you up." So I said, "Well, you weren't very good at it. You didn't make much of a mess." So that was a recent incident. What else have I had happen to me? Well, that's one of the funniest things. I spent quite a time in and out of American hospitals at one time.
What, in Africa?
No, this was in Italy.
Ah, right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. We'll come back to that, but don't worry. What about in Italy? In Africa. Anything else happened during the training period at Bleda? I mean, they were doing big exercises in the mountains.
That's right, but I have no recollection of that at all. Obviously, I had a job, various things to do. Maybe I tried to sort out the brigadiers, what he'd lost.
Now, then they moved up to Bizerta, and the actual preparations began for Salerno. What do you remember of that? I mean, were you involved at all? There were exercises, and then there was the real preparation. Do you remember either?
Yes, there was quite a big exercise. At one time, I was told to report at headquarters, whatever it was called, AFHQ in I set off on this 1,000-mile trip from Algiers area by jeep. When I got there, bright and breezy, I forget who it was now. I think it was Clark. But one of them, anyhow. He said, "Well, what are you doing here, soldier?" So I said, "Well, sir, I've been sent to attend this conference." Good grief. You're not supposed to know anything about it. This was the practice landing and all that sort of business. So that was another episode of life.
What did you know about the plans for Salerno beforehand? I mean, how far were you taken into?
I didn't know anything, really. Not a thing. I was at NSD. Beautiful. I remember a beautiful crossing.
What was the weather like?
Beautiful.
All the way?
Yeah. Not a ripple. Not a ripple. You know, so I don't remember anything. Sunbathing, chatting to the Americans. Then, when we got to Salerno, we were listening in to the radio that they got. It didn't seem to us that things were going quite as well as they should have done, because the calls for Red Cross boats and that sort of thing. We
Now, the Hampshire's, the 1 to 8 Brigade went first.
Yes, they're called the Bill of Fortune.
It's the 9th of September.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't land with your brigade, would you, at that time? Because the Durhams were next, I think, weren't they?
Yes.
What do you remember of that? I mean, could you see what was happening?
Not really.
How far offshore were you?
Well, we heard, you know, the Hampshire's calling for this, that, or the other, either covering fire from the Navy, or
such a medical.
We were quite a way off. I remember we were, when we landed, the Americans saying, I had a motorbike, so I said, for heaven's sake, don't put me in too much water, otherwise I shan't be able to ride my bike. And then they put the ramp down. And they said, come on, let's get the hell out of it. We want to get back home.
Was this on the 9th or the next day? Doesn't matter. And what happened when you? Where did you establish brigade headquarters?
Oh, in the Salado itself. Unfortunately, as Levin discovered, that there was a place where a lot of cars were going in and out, and we simply got a terrific stomp of mortars.
What was it like under a mortar stonk or a stonk like that?
Not very pleasant. I ran to hell. To get out of it. I didn't like it at all. At least some people didn't mind it, but I didn't like it at all.
And then there was a period when the Durhams were on Hospital Hill, and there was a lot of German counterattacking. This is around about the 11th to the 15th of September. Do you recall that?
This is very hazy, though, completely. And the Germans were there.
Anything else that happened in the Hospital Hill area that you were...
No, not whatever.
No point. Then, the next thing was the breakout through the Vietri defile.
That's right.
And that was quite an interesting manoeuvre by the Durhams and the brigade.
Yes.
Would you have to sort of keep touch with the Durhams while they were doing the flank march, the night march and things?
Not that I know of, you see. It all depended on what the brigadier wanted to know. One didn't sort of go swanning off. And anyhow, there were three of us, so we shared our jobs between us.
So you wouldn't necessarily always go to the Durhams?
No. The brigade major like sent a lot of us, and we'd say, for example, whose turn is it to go? And one of us would decide who was to go next time.
Did you have any other duties in the headquarters? So when you weren't being sent out on your bike, what would you be doing in the headquarters?
Resting.
So quite a cushy job then, relative to some jobs, I mean. But
oh, yes. Yeah, we were resting, I suppose. Well, you never knew, you see, whether you might be out all night. Resting about being on motorbike. It wasn't all that cushy. But you had to have your wits about you. And as I say, we used to share the jobs between us. So you never knew when you were going to be called to do a visit.
Now, what about then the next thing would be the fall of Naples and moving into Naples.
It's also hazy, though. remember anything about it.
What about the Volturno?
I mean, we went to, yes, okay, we moved into Naples. The Volturno, well, I didn't do any river crossing, so I was lucky, I was spared probably with that one.
So, Volturno, Tiana, you weren't involved in either of them?
The good Lord was kind to me, I think, on those occasions.
So you'd just be back at the headquarters?
Yes.
When did Block arrive?
He's in Warren's book.
It will be somewhere, but...
Because he's had it. I remember turning up at the Navy quarters one day, and there was a strange little trouble. And he looked at me. Well, I had to take it on my boat to some sea of the river. And he nearly fell off. At least I nearly fell off. In front of me. But, well, he was a great guy.
What was he like?
He had a sense of humour. He was rather keen always to have a brigade headquarters in a house. Comforts. You don't have to say comforts.
Well, just running through, the thing like the Monte Camino fighting and then the Garigliano. You know, the Amore Hill fighting there,
yes,
before they went to the Middle East.
Yes.
What do you remember of that? Because it must have been quite hard work finding the battalions and...
It was rather tired, it was years.
And quite dangerous.
Yes, I remember when I got injured way back in Monte Camino.
How did that happen?
Oh, I was with a brigade technical guards brigade headquarters, and we were building it was during the casino do. We were holding a ridge overlooking the casino, and we started to build a lager. Around our little cabin with rocks and that sort of thing. And I was bending forward. I will always remember it, but I put my steel hammer down. I always insist that it was the good old way to put my steel hammer down. Anyhow, there was all of a sudden this tremendous bang on my head. And I saw a spider's and I got into it with it. Made a hole in my helmet. If I hadn't had my helmet on, I wouldn't have been here today. So that was quite an experience.
Were you evacuated with it, or were you able to get just a bruise?
Oh no, it scooped out a bit of my skull. You can imagine a bit of metal in the helmet. Scoop a bit under that. The best intrigue when I was taken to the dressing station is how to say, this is interesting. But, we think we can see your brain. At least you'll catch me up. There we are.
Hello.
I was lucky. Of course, two people got knocked out of that. I think it was a mortar that landed quite near to where we were all. Because one of the brigade platoon chaps helped me down the hill. We were on top of this blessed mountain. And I had lost my glasses. I couldn't see a thing. It was pitch dark. And he walked me all the way down back to the dressing station, which was brilliant.
How long were you out of the line with that?
Oh, I went numerous there at the airport. Funny story to tell you about that.
Yep, go on then.
Well, I was in a ward with about four other officers, Americans, and a chap came in with a box and started distributing these things. And he said, "Oh, you're a Brit, aren't you? Can I have one of these?" So I said, "What are they?" He said, "Well, these are Purple Heart medals. Can't give a Purple Heart to a Brit." Some time later, a few years ago, I was still in the one of them, was in the army, had an American colonel attached to him. Adrian recounted this story. They had a good laugh. And he said, "I'll do something about this." And he eventually produced a miniature, which I got, of the Purple Heart, which he gave to me. It's a good story of this chap handing these things round, saying, "Oh, don't you call one of those."
How were you recovering from your head wound? I mean, did you get headaches or any after effects?
No, excellent treatment.
When did you rejoin the brigade? Would they be in Middle East? So I went to the Middle East in February, 1944.
No, I'm sorry, I'm really vague, hazy around it all.
What about the time in the Middle East? Do you remember much about that? Because you were there in Beirut, you said earlier.
Oh yes, well, we were stationed outside, I said Beirut, I meant Damascus. We were stationed outside Damascus, and occasionally we used to all of us pile into a jeep and go to Beirut. We used to go through this place where we were going to Something Valley, where a lot of dissidents live. We didn't realize that at the time. We used to cheerfully drive off, go to Beirut for that evening, complete with our two parties.
This is Meek and Fury.
Fury, well, certainly Fury. He was always game for a party. We used to go to Beirut. Beirut was a lovely city.
You mean Damascus?
No, we used to go from Damascus. We were stationed outside Damascus.
Sorry, I see.
But we used to drive from Damascus to Beirut.
Got you, sorry.
This widely loathsome road. Incredible, that's what we did in those days. We went to such places as Baalbek, which is a wonderful place with ruins, known ruins. That's about it.
Now, Block was definitely with you by this time, and
yes.
Did he make a big impact on the brigade, do you think?
Well, I think so, yes.
In what way?
Well, I think he was very good with the